community radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
Mikey's Drive Time on a Friday afternoon. Brentwood and Billericay's Phoenix FM. We've got Westlife on the way next. If I get round to playing it, because I'm a bit starstruck. Vicky, you're better looking in real life than you are on the TV. Do you know that?
Flatter am
I? No, seriously.
Thank you.
Seriously, I'm being honest with you. You're an amazing looking woman. Oh, Vicky Michelle MBE.
Yes.
I was, it sounds like this is your life then, doesn't it?
I thought you were going to curtsy there for a minute.
I don't quite know. I feel all beside myself, to be honest with you, Vicky. I do.
No, I'm beside you.
So obviously you're most well known from your part in Hello, Hello,
yes,
which was absolutely amazing. Such a well-written comedy programme.
Brilliantly written.
Have you got any secrets from behind the scenes?
I've got loads of secrets from behind the scenes. It was a fantastic series to be involved in. Hmm. And they've been showing it on BBC Two twice a day, every day. From, I think, they started off at 3:45, then they moved it to sort of 4 o'clock, and then they put two on, because I think it was popular and the kids.
It is very popular.
It's still really popular, and I think we've got a new generation now, because the kids were watching it coming in from school. There was lots of things going on behind the scenes. We were just really juvenile when we first started.
Well, that's the best way to be.
It's the best way to be. And there's lots of things that went on. I remember that we were at Old Street, filming at Old Street, and some of the cast managed to get in as extras on EastEnders.
Oh, really?
They sweet-talked the
really?
Floor manager to get in. And then whoever was the producer then, found out and went absolutely bonkers.
Really?
And she cut everything out. And I think there's one scene with John D. Collins, who was one of the airmen, and he's in the back of shot. So, I mean, those sort of things we used to do. We used to drop fake dummies out of the side of the BBC building and put ransom notes for Juliet Bravo and things like that, you know, if you want your dummy back. It was really fabulous days, and it took me all over the world as well, New Zealand, Australia. So
because it was worldwide, wasn't it? It was getting picked up all over the place.
Countries.
Yeah.
And then a little while ago, I remember David Cross said to us, when he first showed it, I think he went to Geneva, and the Germans went to see the show, and they said, "We love it. We think it's very funny, but we will never buy it." And then about 5 years ago, they bought it.
Oh,
and
really?
And they're buying it regularly. So we
really?
Have the Germans are watching Hello, Hello. Yeah.
It doesn't surprise me. It's so well written. It was so well written.
Oh, thank you.
Can I ask you how you went? How did you get the MBE? Because I've been looking for one of these.
You've got to write to the Queen. No, it was just out of the blue. I got this letter saying that you're being considered for an award from the Queen for your charity work. And I've always done lots of charity work, and I've been involved, you know, with lots of charities, which I'm patron of the Heritage and Lady Taverners in Essex and Haven House and Dream Factory and things like that. So I've always, when I've not worked, I've always wanted to help charities, because I thought, well, it's a nice thing to do. And I got involved with an Asperger's DVD as well, helping some Asperger children. Mm-hmm. And then people had written in, and I think that's what happens. They write in and say, "Would you consider Vicky?" So that's what I assume happened.
All right.
And you're not allowed to tell anyone. So when you get this letter, you can't tell anyone. So I didn't tell my daughter.
Oh, really?
I did not tell anyone.
I couldn't do that. I'd be bursting.
Well, I just thought they'll blab. I know what they're like.
Yeah.
And I thought, because you can lose it if they know about it early.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
I didn't realise that.
They can say, you know, well, I'm sorry, but too many people know, so, because it's supposed to be a secret. And then I thought, oh, it probably won't happen. She's considering it, but it probably won't happen. And then I got the letter saying you've got it. And much as I love Charlie, I really wanted the MBE from the Queen. And she gave me the MBE. Absolutely amazing, amazing day. Was fantastic. And so I'm thrilled and humbled to have received an MBE for my charity work. So
I can imagine.
Well, it wasn't why I did it. I didn't even know about it.
It's quite an accolade to achieve, isn't it? It's quite a pat on the back.
Yes, it is.
You should be very proud of that.
I am really, really proud of it. Really proud.
You should be.
Great honour.
Now you've obviously you're not doing Hello, Hello anymore, and you've moved on to bigger and greater things. So what can we expect to see you in?
Well, oh, thank you, darling. I've got a glass of water.
It's got a glass
there.
Of water, isn't it? Look, it's a goldfish in it. Look.
I'm really excited. I work with a producer, Matthew Townsend. I did Salad Days for him.
Yeah.
And Lock Up Your Daughters. And he's at Frinton, and it's 75 years. I think it's the longest running rep company there.
Yeah, yeah.
And famous people have all performed there. I'm going to be in The Importance of Being Earnest, and I'm playing Lady Bracknell.
Oh, really?
She's fantastic. And so I'm practicing that.
You got that very well. Do it again.
I thought, sorry, I'm going for it. And Richard Wilson's doing a play down there.
Oh, really?
So they've got some really nice names, and I'm hoping John D. Collins, because he lives near Frinton, is going to be in it, and Giles Watling, who I've worked with a lot. So that's going to be fun. So that's in August. I'm doing that.
Right.
And I'm filming a film called No Reasons.
Oh, right, yeah.
And I'm playing a psychiatrist in.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Are you the glasses, the white coat?
Well, I'm thinking of the glasses. Yeah, I think I'll start off with the glasses and the white coat.
I know.
No, it's quite serious. Actually, it's a really serious film.
And
it's a bit dark, and it's sort of about paedophiles and things like that.
Really?
So it's it's quite a heavy film, but it's great. And another Essex girl, Lucinda Rose Flaherty.
Now, we were talking before. Yes. I worked with Lucinda a while ago.
Yeah, and Spencer.
Fantastic lady.
Yeah, and Spencer has. He's written the script and he's directing it, and so that's a sort of a local thing we've been filming, and she's great because she's a lovely girl and a real hard worker, and she's playing the lead role in it.
Oh, really?
And it's a real heavy role. Mark Bannerman's in it, and some really good names, and I think it should be a really good film. So I'm looking forward to seeing that coming out.
Okay, and I know you was you're doing a role as Deborah Whitten in the Cormac Queen.
Oh yes, I play a casting director in that.
Really?
Yes, it was fun, and she's sort of she likes a drink.
And, don't we all?
Yes, absolutely. Speak for yourself, Mike. As if. So I played that. That was really good. I saw it, went over to Ireland. It's an Irish director, Graham Campbell, who's won BAFTAs and things. And and Amy Hastings is playing the lead. And they've just been taking it to America. And the chap, I think it was George R. Martin, who did the Game of Thrones, sort of presented it in America.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that's quite exciting. So I'm waiting to see where it's, and then they'll come back to England and probably put it out, and it'll be out on DVD. But that was a fun thing to do.
Are there any more TV sitcoms that you're going to be in? Because your comic timing, people take for granted.
Yes.
It's earned. Comic timing is earned. And when you see a bad comedian or a comedy actress and a good comedy actress, you can see the difference straight away. And your timing was absolutely amazing.
Oh, thank you.
It was very, very sharp and very crisp. So it would be a shame for you to waste that. Have you got any more comic roles that are coming up?
There's Dylan from, was it Big Cherry Productions? I can't remember the name of it. They're writing a script called Happy Ever After for me, which was really,
oh, really
flattering. Yeah, because I went to read for him for a Marilyn Monroe part, an older Marilyn Monroe part, which was for a play, and he said, I've got this script and I think you'd be perfect for it. Mm-hmm. And they've sort of rejigging it, so we're talking about that at the moment. So hopefully that would be a new series.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
Fingers crossed that comes about for you, because we'd love to see you back on TV again, and it would be such a shame to waste the comic timing that you've got. Seriously, you were amazing.
Well, I learned. I think it's a natural thing as well. It's an instinct.
Yes.
And all my family are mad anyway, and they're all think they're comedians, and so I've been brought up like that.
Yeah.
But also I've worked with the best, you know, starting off with Dick Emery.
Oh, then, Dick Emery was amazing his time, wasn't he?
Amazing. Then I did a whole series with Ken Dodd.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and then from Ken Dodd, Ronnie Barker saw me, and he said, I want her in our show. So then I did the two Ronnies.
I never realised you...
And then Les Dawson, I did a series with Les Dawson. I did his lots of sketches with him, and then I did two series with Les. So all this time, I'm thinking, you know, I was quite young, and I'm thinking, oh, this is fun. But I'm learning, and I'm watching them, because when you're rehearsing, you're watching the greats.
That's right.
And so you're learning all the time.
You just absorb...
You're absorbing
the information, yeah.
It's a bit
that's
like my daughter, because from watching me and watching everyone I've worked with, she's fantastic at comic timing. So, I think you don't realise you're learning it.
No, you don't.
All the time.
You don't. Well, look, we're going to have a song and we'll have another little chat in just a second. Community Radio for Brentwood and Billericay, Phoenix FM with Westlife. Bop Bop Baby doesn't seem very bop bop to me, but there we go. Such is life. In the studio with me this afternoon, we've got Vicky Michelle, MBE. Hi, Vicky. I've been calling you Mickey and all sorts, haven't I? I'm all of the tiswas. Honestly. No, you don't believe me, do you? I am. I'm all of the tiswas.
It's being in this broom cupboard with you.
It is. The padded walls help and everything. Now, I found the name of that production company. It was Giant Cherry Productions.
Yes,
is that
that's
right?
Yes, with Dylan Costello.
That's it.
And Lee Saunders. And they're writing this. And I'm playing the part. It's Happy Ever After is what they're writing. It's playing a part of Veronica. Yeah. Sort of a feisty cougar battling against ageism and loneliness.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's come to the forefront of everyone's mind, the word cougar, recently, isn't it? And it just popped up out of nowhere.
I think you get to a certain age and you become a cougar.
Do you think I could be a cougar?
If you change sex, you can.
Well, I'll try this over the weekend, see what happens, shall we?
You can start dressing up.
Well, you never know, do you? You never know. Now, I know you played in a TV film. You played the wife of Ray Winston and Danny Dyer's mother.
Yes, I did.
What was that like?
It was a brilliant. It was out of the blue. I just finished pantomime and I went for this part, and it was to play Ray Winston's wife. And it was funny because I was in the last, I think, three people for Sexy Beast.
Yeah.
So it was out of me and Amanda Redman and one other. So I did the screen test and everything with Ray. And when I met Ray afterwards, he said, I thought you were really good for the part, Vic. So when this came up, I don't know whether he said, why don't you see Vicky for it? But I got the part playing his wife. And it was great because it was filming again and I'd been doing so much theatre. I hadn't done film for quite a while. And it was great to do the filming and play a serious role as opposed to comedy.
Yeah.
Because obviously as an actress, you do both. But then sort of people think, oh, Vicky Michelle, comedy.
They do try to pigeonhole you very easily, don't they?
So I started off doing really dramatic roles.
Really?
Yeah. So, you know, do you remember Softly Softly? So I played.
I remember
like
that.
I did three leads in those before. And sort of a drug dealer I played, and a gangster's sort of girlfriend that had him bumped off in another one, and a skinhead where they put a wig on me and everything.
I can't imagine you.
Well, the director said to me, this was the first time I went for the Softly Softly, and he went. So I read the script and he said, look, you look completely wrong. But you read the script brilliantly. Would you mind if we put a wig on you? And I said, no, anything, get the part.
Yeah.
And so they put this really short wig on, and someone I know has got a copy of this somewhere, and
really?
I'm going to try and get it. Yes, because it's called Go On In, Put The Boot In. I mean, you're saying all these lines, you know, I was only young. It was a real, quite, she was a nasty little bitch. But those were really serious roles then.
Yeah.
But then I did the comedy. And then this was lovely working with Ray Winston, who is a fantastic actor.
Just amazing.
And a mate.
Amazing.
Now. And Danny Dyer playing my son, and he's a fantastic actor.
Yeah.
You know, and so it was a joy to work with them both. And it was a really good show. I think it was sort of loosely based on Harry Redknapp. <That's awful. laughs>
Really?
I think Ray sort of took Harry as his sort of the person he was trying to be like.
Well, look, you've been an executive producer as well.
Yes,
I found out.
Yes, that was recent. I did a film called Run for Your Wife,
right?
Which was we made a film of Ray Cooney's most famous play.
Yeah.
Ray Cooney's an Essex boy. He lives in Thayton Boys. So, and then he was looking for someone to play the taxi driver. And I said, well, I think Danny Dyer, although he'd always played serious roles, knowing him, he had a brilliant, he's got a really brilliant comedy flair when you talk to him.
And got so very good timing.
Very good timing, exactly. So Ray said, let me see him, and he thought he was perfect for the role. And he was. He was really, really good in the role. So he got the role. And we made the film, and it's good old British comedy and very funny.
Yeah.
And I think it's out on DVD now, so... Yeah.
Oh, brilliant. I'm going to have a look at that.
You've got to have a look. It will make you laugh.
I'll have a look for that
on
the weekend.
We had Christopher Biggins and Lionel Blair.
Oh, really?
Playing the gay couple, yeah. Yeah, that was brilliant. I mean, they got the biggest laugh. I've got to say, they were... And Neil Morrissey was playing sort of the neighbour to Danny Dyer. And we had Denise Van... Van Houten, another Essex girl.
Yeah, yeah.
And Sarah Harding, playing the two wives, because the taxi driver's married to two wives, but they don't know about each other.
Oh, right, yeah.
That's how it starts off. And it was just, it was fun, and we had fun, and it was, and it's a funny film. I don't know, we did a premiere in Leicester Square, and what Ray Cooney did was asked all his friends, and so he got Dame Judi Dench to play sort of a cameo role, and Cliff Richard to play a small role, and about 80 other people all playing extras, and you go, oh, look, there's Bernard Cribbins,
yeah.
Oh, there's Russ Abbott,
yeah.
And so when you're watching the film, you see all of these wonderful faces that you know you used to see all the time. So it's a good film for laughing and spotting celebrities.
And I hear you're doing a bit of a sci-fi drama as well.
Oh, what was that, Coolio?
Yeah.
Oh yes, yeah, I did that with playing a sort of a really heavy gangster type female.
I feel a trend set.
What's going on? I'm a psychiatrist. Casting director. Now I'm really. Yeah, I'm going dark now, aren't I?
Yeah.
I am. She was quite a gangster with a gun and sort of. That was quite heavy. But it was a very cleverly done. Paul, who was directing it, and he got it all on the website and did some really clever stuff and musically he did some wonderful stuff with it. So, and I think that's become. They've got quite a lot of following on that now. I think he's doing another one.
Do you find it easy going from a comic role into a serious role, or is it you have to sit and no, hang on a minute, I'm not doing that, and constantly remind yourself?
I think that once you start doing the role, you sort of get into it, and it's like anything. It's like when I was playing Miss Hannigan in Annie. First of all, you know you're doing This Is America, you know, come here, you little brat, you know, and you're trying to get that, and then all of a sudden you think, no, I haven't quite got her, and they go, yes. And you know when you've got the role. You know when you've got it.
Yeah.
But I think I find it quite easy to go, being a schizophrenic, I find it quite easy to go into different roles. And I think that, you know, if I'm playing Wicked Queen in Panto, my husband says you're playing yourself at that time.
I
become the Wicked Queen.
Do you research, when you have a role, do you search for a person that would fit perfectly in that role in normal life and then sort of hang around them or watch them?
No, I think I usually try and, I think you sort of drain on people that, something in your psyche, you think, you start doing it and you sort of play around with maybe accents or you know, how you deliver the lines and that's what I usually do. But probably somewhere in the back of your brain, something comes, or you might have seen something.
Someone
it comes
you may
forward.
Have known. Yeah.
Yes, it comes forward and you sort of become that. You know, I mean, if I was doing Essex, there's quite a few people that I know that, you know, I could base the Essex character on,
yep.
You know, and there's some wonderful characters in Essex.
Fantastic.
I love it. Yeah,
it is fantastic. Try Romford Market on a Saturday afternoon.
Well, my brother-in-law worked in, yes, Jim the Foam.
See, that's typical.
You see?
That's typical. Everybody had, I used to work in Hatton Garden as a jeweller, and everybody had a nickname like that.
Oh, really?
Look out, Billy the Fingers, look out. Okay, what's the matter with
Deborah
fingers?
In Chigwell, her husband Daniel's a jeweller.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But
we probably know all of these. They're all the same people.
All these characters, they are out there. They are out there. You've just got to go and search for them.
Yeah, definitely.
You have got to go and search for them. I noticed as well you appeared in the Two Ronnies spectacle.
Yes.
Which is a docu sort of about the Two Ronnies.
Well, that was just really talking about them and saying how it was to work with them, because the first time I worked with them, Ronnie Barker had seen me work with Ken Dodd, and he said, if she can pull that off, I want her to come in with me. It was this sketch I was doing with him.
Yeah.
I did the whole series with him.
An absolute god, man. The man's a
I know.
God.
I mean, he packs out now. Ken Dodd packs out. He
amazing.
Is, you know, every place he goes to, 2,000 seater, he packs out.
Yeah.
Anyway, Ronnie B saw me in this with Ken, got me in and said, right, let's see if this girl can. And I'm obviously thinking, so they've put me in at the deep end and said, right, we're dressing you up as a boy with a moustache.
Really?
Flat cap, hair up, Victorian newspaper boy, right? I went, oh, okay, fine, that's good. You know, because I think he was testing to see how I'd take looking not glamorous,
right,
basically.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
But then what they did was they hoiked. So I had this bra on, which absolutely hoiked my boobs. I had this enormous cleavage. And what happens, so from a distance, I'll go, read all about it, phantom raspberry flower of old London tan. And so it looks like a boy, and I've got a moustache on. And then they zoom in to this enormous cleavage, and that was the game. So they threw me in at the deep end. I was very young then; I'm probably about 20 something, and that was that was the beginning of working with them. And then after that, I did quite a lot of their shows with them.
Do you prefer the serious side or the comedy side of acting?
Both. I love it. I think I consider myself lucky to still be working now and getting parts. And I think that that whatever you do, it's exciting, and you have to love it.
Stage shows, you do have to love it.
You know, I love appearing on stage. I love doing my pantomime. I like, I played fairy last year, so I liked getting the kids to love me.
Yeah.
And they were cheering me in the end, which was great.
Yeah.
And then, or playing the baddie and getting them to boo me and, using vile lines on them. Shut up, peasants. Vile child. Things. And it's just fun. I find it. But also making people happy or making people believe your characters and enjoying that. I mean, obviously, making people laugh is fantastic because there's nothing better. I went to see Ray Cooney's play Two Into One last night, and it was hilarious.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was packed out, and and people just want to laugh, and it's funny.
They do. There's so much so much down out there at the moment.
Yeah, exactly. We need the comedies.
We need the comedies
on when you get in from work.
Yes.
Like Hello, Hello used to be.
Yes, you do.
Because when you get in from work, you want to laugh.
Yeah, of course you do.
If you had a heavy day, so yeah.
Well, the last time I saw you on TV, and we're going to leave you with this, and I'm going to ask you about this, was Big Brother's bit on the side.
All right, yes, okay.
Now, I don't like Big Brother, I've got to be honest.
Right.
But the celebrity Big Brother, I can't turn it off.
It was amazing, wasn't it? Lionel.
Yeah.
Blair. And
he was just amazing. He was a god.
I know. And they just got it right. I've done it a few times before, and I think they've got a great mix of celebrities. And the normal ones, you usually find one that is really annoying. But I've got a 24-year-old daughter, Louise, who's also an actress, but she loves watching it. So it's like, go in another room and watch something else, or watch something with your daughter. So I'm watching it, and I'm thinking, you sort of get hooked into it. But the celebrity one this year was Jim Davison. It just all turned around. And Linda, who was a lovely person, I think they probably didn't show all the best parts of Linda when she was moaning at Jim all the time.
But I think, I know there was a lot of controversy between the pair of them.
Yeah.
But I think because of that controversy, it made him win.
Yes, it did.
It did.
It did, because you felt sorry for him in the end.
Yeah,
sometimes you just saw him and you think, do you know what, he's got this really bravado front. Everyone
very
hurts.
Insecure man, though.
I think so. I mean, I love Jim, but he likes to be in control
of
stuff. But basically, he's a nice person. And his wife now, Michelle, she's a hairdresser from Essex, another.
Oh, really?
Yeah. She's lovely, beautiful, and I think he's really happy. And he used to do roadie. He was a roadie for some of the comedians.
Oh, really?
Mike,
I didn't know that.
Pete Demo and Mike. Yeah, he used to roadie for them.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And then he started off doing his own stuff, and then with Nick and all of those.
Yeah.
And then he went on from there. So he was sort of local.
Yeah.
It goes on forever.
It was
I've been
just
around
amazing.
Too long, haven't I?
It was fantastic. It really was fantastic.
Yeah, it was. That celebrity Big Brother, I think, is compulsive viewing.
Now, I interviewed Lionel Blair. This was a few years ago now. And I'm going to let you into a few secrets now. My brief was to interview him and set him off because he had the Blair stare.
Oh, I was there.
Oh, was you? Was you there?
I was doing the play with him in Bournemouth.
Oh, really?
When Noel Edmonds did the gotcha on him.
That's
right.
And
we were all primed for
it. Oh, really?
Well, yeah, we were. So I had to pretend that this guy was upsetting me, and which was Noel, dressed up as an old man.
Yeah.
When we got the Blair stare for the gotcha. So it was all like, and I looked at Lionel and I'm going, I don't know what to do. And we're supposed to be doing a play, and it's full of people, real people are paid to see this play. And Lionel's gone, well,
that's it.
He really had to go, and he gave him the Blair stare. And that's where that came from.
Well, because of that,
yeah.
My programme control at this radio station years ago said, right, it's a telephone interview with Lionel Blair. So I said, okay. And he said, I want you to set him off, so he slams the phone down. So I went, yeah, all right, okay, I'll do it. I lost my bottle.
Oh.
I lost my bottle.
Really?
You can sense that the man would chew me up and spit me out for breakfast.
Yes.
And I got the same sense when I was watching Celebrity Big Brother.
Yeah, yeah.
And I went, no. And it brought it right back. I was like, I'm going, no. He's making me nervous.
Lionel knows this business backwards. And he's
of course
amazing.
He does.
I've known him for years and years, and his wife, Sue, and the children. I went to see his son the other day they're in Distraction Club in London at Phoenix Pub.
Yeah.
But Lionel, we're doing a lunch for him for the Heritage Foundation too, and he's going, oh, I think I'll get up and... he said, I'll do a tap dance, and he's going to tell us stories about when he worked with Sammy Davis Jr. And he's just done something with Bruce Forsyth as well, which is coming out.
Was he?
But Lionel knows this business backwards.
Of course he does.
And he knows, and I think he probably would have chewed you up.
He would have chewed me up and spit me out. I've got no doubt about that. But
I can't believe him swearing.
That was quite shocking.
I mean, because he doesn't usually swear, you know, but I just think he got pissed off.
Because we're all sort of grown up with him, and we're that close to him.
Yes.
He's almost one of the family now, to be honest. And to him, you go, oh, it's like even your granddad do it. You go, oh, no, I can't. No, I can't.
No, you couldn't. How could you ever go at Lai-Lai?
No, you couldn't.
You couldn't.
Absolutely amazing. Oh, yes.
On the Lionels.
Yes, he
was.
He
used to get all that when we were out.
Absolutely. He is Mr. Showbiz, though, isn't he?
He is Mr. Showbiz. He is.
Well, I've just thoroughly enjoyed this afternoon. Vicky, please, thank you very, very much. If you're doing anything ever again in the area, come back and see us again and have a nice little
darling.
Chat.
Thank you. This has been fun. Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming in.
I love Phoenix Radio. That's brilliant.
Community Radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.